Good morning. Good to see you all. It's a real privilege to be here. What great facilities, great music, great people. The best looking people in the whole of Bolton Street. Wonderful. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm looking forward to this. Everywhere I go, people say, boy, we're looking forward to this. Wonderful. We're going to be sharing from Psalm 23 this morning, but Kathy and I have done ministry for well over 25 years together as a team, and we've got three great kids all grown up, and we're empty nesters now. So that's an exciting stage of life. No more nappies, no more high school presentations, speech nights. Thank you, Jesus. And not for long. So it's fantastic, and we bring you greetings from Nelson Bay, from Beachside Church there, and it's a great part of the world. We've got all sorts of things there, whale watching and camel riding. I rode a camel for the first time in my life recently. Can I say the camel was so glad to have finished the trip. I nearly fell off the back because when they get up and when they get down, unless you're really leaning back, you're in big trouble. You either go, you know, head over heels or you fall off the back. So once in your lifetime, you've got to do a camel ride. They're awesome. So I want to share with you this morning from Psalm chapter 23. It's one that we know really well, and I hadn't preached on this until about 18 months ago. So my whole ministry had never preached on this, but it was a revelation to me, and probably a title I would give is Giving Yourself Permission to Thrive. Giving yourself permission to thrive. There's many things in life we don't give ourselves permission. And if we don't give ourselves permission, then it doesn't work out through our lives. We've got to give the mental and the emotional permission to thrive. See, Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and life more than abundantly. I didn't just come here to get you to maintain or to survive or just to get through. I came to give you life and life more abundantly. I didn't come just to plant a seed, but I actually planted myself as a whole crop, as a whole harvest for eternity. Isn't that good news? You're not here just to survive. You're here to thrive. But it comes back to you and your willingness to give yourself permission to thrive. Are you hearing me this morning? Because Jesus said, I came to give you life and life to the full. So who's stopping that? Us. Give yourself permission. And we give ourselves permission in lots of different ways. And we're going to have a look at Psalm chapter 23, well known. I'll just read it to you. It'll be up there in the background. If you didn't bring your Bible or your iPad or your iPhone, you know, the great thing is with these iPhones, you've got your Bible on there, but you can still look like you're looking at the Bible, but look at Facebook and update and do all of those things. Will you? Anybody ever know anybody else who's done that? It was quite funny because another pastor, because some of our family go to another church in the Bay, and they were telling us that the pastor got caught out recently because he, while he was sitting listening to somebody else preach, he was updating Facebook status. And somebody else saw them because they were on Facebook as well. And they were texting him saying, what are you doing on Facebook? In the middle of the sermon. Shame. Anyway, so just pretend this morning that you're reading the Bible. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside still waters. I just love the flow of that and the rhythm of that, and it's a beautiful psalm. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, there's no lack here. It's about cups overflowing. It's about feasts. It's about all of those things. It's about thriving, even in the presence of our enemies. Even when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death. Even when we're facing tribulations and trials. There's a blessing and there's abundance and there's a thriving that can be had. Are you hearing me this morning? But you see, we need to give ourselves permission to thrive. And I love this psalm because it's not just a poem. It's not just a psalm. This is King David's reflection on his experience with God. Through all the ups and downs of life, he's writing this out as a reflection for himself to think about and to meditate and to mull over all the things that God's been doing in his life. How good is that? And we've got it today. You see, the first part of the psalm is his journey. And the second part are the keys that he's learned. So we're gonna go through that journey in the first part, and we're gonna reach over into the second part and pull out the keys that he learned in that journey. Are you with me this morning? So we're gonna dissect this and pull it apart, because this is a key for us to give ourselves permission to thrive even in the presence of trials and tribulations and worry and concern and all of those things. We can still thrive even in the rockiest desert, even in the loneliest time. We can thrive because our thriving doesn't depend on our circumstances, it depends on who's the great shepherd. Are you hearing me this morning? Some of you need to be encouraged this morning to stop just surviving in life. Yes, times are tough. Can I say times have been tough in our life as well? But we can still thrive through that. And people will look at us and say, how are you thriving even when you've got all this stuff that you're facing and dealing with and all the hurts and the knockbacks and the tough times? It's because we have a great shepherd who takes us on a journey. I'd like to maybe just change the word there a bit. This is how we should be saying it to ourselves: is when the Lord is my shepherd. Because David had been through that process and he knew that the Lord was his shepherd. But we don't always allow ourselves to be led. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and follow. When we're doing our own stuff, when we're off doing our own thing and no, I'm going to make it and I know better, this stuff's not going to happen. Are you hearing me? You see, we give ourselves permission to thrive when we put ourselves afresh under the lordship of Jesus Christ. When we want to go that way and he says, no, come back, I want you to go this way. Oh yeah, but I think I know better. You know, And when the Lord is my shepherd is one of the keys to allowing ourselves to thrive. Make him your shepherd afresh. Hear his voice and follow him. Is that a good word this morning? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's an interesting concept. Because I would have thought that sheep would love to feed and then lie down in green pastures. What a beautiful place. Imagine being in Hawaii and being able to just lie down and just rest and just soak in all of those things. But he had to make them. Some translations say, well, he creates the opportunity. But I love these words, he makes them lie down. Why do you think a sheep has to be made to lie down by the shepherd? That's a good question. When there's all this abundance and there's all these opportunities and he has to make you lie down. Well, that's a good thought. We might just leave it there for today. He makes us lie down because we're sheep. And there's issues with sheep. I'm not an expert on sheep, but I read a great book a while ago by a guy by the name of Philip Keller, who was a shepherd. And he wrote a book about Psalm 23. And I just want to share some things from there, because to me this is if you can just get this one point, it'll all be worthwhile and you can begin your journey in thriving in the midst of your enemies. He said, obviously, the role of the shepherd is to lead the sheep to green pastures, to protect them from predators, to make sure that none of them gets lost or goes astray. He's the great protector. But it's often said that summertime is fly time. To name just a few of the parasites and things that come, the small enemies that will get in, there's a whole lot. There's the warble flies, the bot flies, the heel flies, the nasal flies, black flies, mosquitoes, gnats, and all sorts of other things. It's not just the big enemies that want to zap your strength and get into you and distract you so that you can't lie down. Sheep are especially troubled by the nose fly or nasal fly. These little flies buzz around the sheep's head, attempting to lay their eggs on the damp mucous membranes of the sheep's nose. If they are successful, the eggs will hatch in a few days to form small, slender, worm-like larvae. They work their way up the nasal passages and into the sheep's head. They burrow into the flesh and they set up an intense irritation and severe inflammation. So these are little flies that are buzzing round. You know, what are they going to do? They're going to knock the sheep over? They're going to kill it? No, they're going to lay their eggs in the nose. And that little larvae gets up into the head, into the brain, and starts to eat the flesh. And it becomes an incredible irritation. So much so that the sheep will try and bang their heads against a rock or against some undergrowth to get rid of the pain and the inflammation. They'll run into each other. They'll just run around in circles. They'll do all sorts of things to get rid of the annoyance and the hindrance and the irritation. How many things in your life irritate you? Well, we don't have our kids at home anymore, but they were beautiful. But there were lots of little things that would irritate. Maybe there's a word that's been spoken into your life. Somebody's accused you of something. Or somebody said something that's really cut you to the core. Maybe somebody's spoken over your life and said, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never do that. Maybe the little irritation that creates inflammation is something that you've been saying about yourself. I am useless. I am hopeless. I have nothing to offer. All of these little larvae that get into the brain and start to mess with your brain. Maybe things that have limited you back to the process of just surviving, of not contributing because you don't feel that you've got anything to contribute. These are the irritations. They're the larvae that grow in the brain and create inflammation. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what we speak is an overflow of what we've got in here. How many people bump into other people? They hurt them. They offend them. They say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. They spread gossip. They do all sorts of things. It's because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Are you hearing me this morning? It's these little flies. It's the little things that get into your brain that cause the frustration, that limit you, and you're not giving yourself permission to thrive. But there is an answer. The great shepherd, the great protector, doesn't just protect the sheep from the wolves and the lions and the bears. He protects them from the little gnats and the little flies and the little things that get into the brain and not only affect them, but affect the rest of the herd. Because if ewes get it, then the lambs start to, they don't produce and they don't grow. And so everybody's affected because somebody is only at the maintenance survival level, and out of the abundance of their heart, the mouth flows. Are you hearing me this morning? If you're in survival mode and you're just in a life where you're just existing, you need to, for the sake of other people, get into the place where you give yourself permission to thrive. And that's when we put the Lord as the great shepherd again. Okay, God, I'm prepared to come. Because you see, He will make us lie down. He'll create the opportunity for us to lie down. See, when you lie down, you're at peace. You're not worried about the bears and the lions. You're not worried about the flies. You're not worried about the other circumstances because there's great contentment. Godliness with great contentment is great gain. Not small gain, not just survival gain. It's great gain. When there's a contentment in here, you don't mind giving. You don't mind helping other people. You don't mind being compassionate. You don't mind being generous because you're contented. And so the great shepherd has an answer. He's looking, he's watching out for those flies. And he's saying, where are they? Because I'm coming to get you. And the answer is we reach into the things that he's learned, the keys that are at the end of the chapter. He said, he anoints my head with oil. He puts oil. A shepherd gets oil and this guy puts, I think, sulfur and tar or something together, and he would smear the head of the sheep, especially around the nose. And that would ward off the flies and kill the flies and allow virtually instantly the sheep to be able to lie down, because the shepherd has dealt with the stuff that needed to be dealt with, and they could find the peace. You know, the Bible says that Jesus sent a comforter. As he was about to go, he said, I'm sending you a comforter, one who will bring you peace. And it's the Holy Spirit. And he went on to say, basically, you need to be filled and continually filled with the Holy Spirit. One dose of this at the beginning of summer is not going to be enough. Because these flies are going to come back. And they're going to keep coming because that's summertime. And so you need to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves, each of you, speaking to others in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit, when He comes and fills us afresh, protects us from all those things that would stop us from being the thriving community that He's called us to be. They're still looking, you know, if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, then the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, and self-control don't thrive. You see, the outworking of somebody who is thriving in the Holy Spirit is all of those things. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's a compassion. There's a generosity that comes. It's not just, oh, I have to pay my tithes. It's, oh, I get to pay my tithes. It's not just, oh, I have to help that person. It's, I want to help that person because I've been first helped. Are you hearing me this morning? You see, we need to be filled and filled and filled and filled with the Holy Spirit again and again and again. We need to allow the great shepherd to anoint our head and allow that oil to run all over us, because we want to deal with the inflammation, the stuff that's holding us back from being who God's called us to be. He came to give us life, and life more abundantly. Are you hearing me this morning? Will you give yourself permission to thrive and allow Him to be the one who is the great shepherd to lead and guide and protect you? To say, don't go there. You're my sheep and you hear my voice and you're following me. Don't go there. Don't take that opportunity. Take that one. Oh, that's good. That's good preaching. That's the Word of God. You see, we get filled with the Holy Spirit afresh the more we speak forth or prophesy the Word of God. Sing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When there's an overflow of declaring the Word of God, even if it's against the circumstances, something begins to change. We need to start to prophesy more the Word of God. Not prophesy foretelling, trying to work out the future, but just prophesy what is already revealed as the Word of God. You are God's child. I love that song this morning. You know, I am a child of God. I believe what He says. That gives yourself permission to thrive. When I don't think I'm good looking or whatever, I'm going to declare, I don't care, I'm the apple of His eye. Do you know that He engraves your name on the palm of His hand? So every time He does a mighty work, He looks and stretches forth His hand and He says, yeah, Bill is there with me and we're doing it together. Joe, Fred, Mary. Every good work that He does, He's reminded of you. Isn't that good news? You see, you're the apple of His eye. You're the one He came and paid a price for, to redeem you and set you on the path of thriving. How good is that? The great shepherd. Wow. Will you give yourself permission to thrive this year? Or is this just going to be another year of ho-hum? Because the decision is yours. Giving yourself. He's already given it. Hasn't He already given it? He's paid the price. Now it's up to you to choose to hear His voice and to allow the anointing of the oil of the Spirit. Let's stir that up in us every day by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Get the worship music going. Make up your own song. I don't care. Start speaking forth the Word of God that you know is already there, and things will begin to change. Wow. That's a challenge for all of us, including myself. You know, the next part says, He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me beside the still waters. This is a progression in the journey. This is not just, oh, well, He does this and He does that. No, this is a progression in a journey. He leads me beside still waters. And do you know why He does that? Still waters is the only place that a sheep can see itself. It's like a mirror. Bible says we look into the Word of God, which is a mirror. But when we begin to stop, we've sat down with peace. We've got contentment now. We're not thinking of this and thinking of that. How can I get rid of this hurt and this pain and so on? He's dealt with that. He's saying, okay, now come with me and sit down and have a look at yourself. Because now you can see differently. Now you can see differently. Now you can see differently. See, sitting by a still water is like intimacy. Intimacy is this, two things. Into me, I see. And into me, you see. The intimacy of a marriage is when Two people are naked and vulnerable and yet love each other. When do you get together and have intimacy with your Heavenly Father? You see, He can see you. You can hide, but He still sees you. But intimacy is that place in prayer, is that place with the Holy Spirit where you say, I don't care, I'm going to take off all the masks. I'm going to stop editing my story around God so that the best, putting my best foot forward, I'm just going to be me, warts and all, my successes and my failures. It's the place where we can pour ourselves out on God and allow Him to start to deal with us. And we begin to see ourselves by seeing Him. But we don't take that time in intimacy because we're so fast-paced in life and we've got this to do and we've got that to do. You see, it's a place of reflection. We don't learn from experience. People do not learn from experience. They learn from reflection on experience. If you would take the time, like David did, to say, this is my journey, this is my experience, but here are the things I found, I learned, I understood. Would you take the time this year to reflect, to get in that place of solitude and actually hear from God afresh? That's a good word this morning. When you do that, you give yourself permission to thrive. Otherwise, you'll go around the same mountain again and again and again. Why do I keep having problems with that person? Because you haven't stopped and taken time to see what your role is and what God's answer is in that process. And so you just go round and round. And God might say, well, the key is you. You need to change. Oh, I don't like hearing that. He leads me beside still waters and He restores my soul. That's at that time that He restores our soul. How wonderful, what great news that is. It goes on to say, what does it say? Next one. Oh, intimacy. I must look inside myself to find my true thoughts and feelings before I can authentically share them with you and really let you see me. Intimacy. It's not prayer. Change the word prayer to intimacy. Pray without seeing. Have intimacy without seeing. Have relationship without seeing. See, intimacy is relationship. Have a relationship with God, not just prayer. Not just praying for something. Have intimacy. Because He might actually give you some words. And in that time, in that relationship, how much would it meet your needs if a person responded to you with patience, kindness, and was not envious of you, was not boastful or proudful, wasn't rude towards you or self-seeking, didn't keep a record of wrongs, refused to be deceitful, but always truthful with you, protected you, trusted you, always hoped for your good, and persevered through conflicts with you. Isn't that the Great Shepherd? You want a place of intimacy where you can be at peace, you can be contented, you can see into yourself, you can see God, you can see how God is wanting to make you vulnerable, naked, intimate. You see, we miss out on the intimacy with our Heavenly Father, and therefore we don't give ourselves permission to thrive. See, somebody who knows God is a learner. I've got to change. I've got to grow. Not the other person, I've got to grow. The third part there, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff were the tools of the trade for the shepherd. There was correction. It was protection. Here he's thanking God and saying those things, those tough times when you've had to deal with me, they're actually for my good. Give yourself permission to be a learner. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. You see, we always have in our household a debate about whether the cup is, or the glass is half full or half empty. You know, are you an optimist or a pessimist or whatever? You know, God never gives you a half full glass, does he? He gives you a cup that's overflowing. Let me say that again. God doesn't give you a half glass full. He gives you a cup that is overflowing. Because as you walk along and it's filled to the brim, how easy is it to spill some on someone? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the full cup, somebody else is going to get blessed. Out of the generosity of your heart, out of the love that's in your heart, if you've been shown mercy and you know you've got a cup full of mercy because you've been shown mercy and he's poured it out to you liberally, you can't help but be merciful for somebody else. Are you hearing me this morning? Generosity, because he's first been generous to us and our cup is overflowing. As we walk along in our daily life, it just happens that we spill stuff. It just happens. In fact, we could be sitting at home. We could be sitting in a restaurant table having dinner last night and somebody knocks their glass over all over the table. I didn't mention anybody's name. And it went everywhere. It's amazing how far that liquid will go. It's amazing how far the generosity and the peace and the kindness and the mercy that's been spilled from your life will go into other people's lives. Are you hearing me this morning? You just can't help it because you're singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and you're reminding yourself every single day that you've got the anointing of God on you. Like Jesus, he said, the anointing of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted and set a prisoner free, to heal blind eyes. You have been anointed. Stir up that anointing. Get that anointing going afresh by speaking the word of God. I am blessed. I'm a child of the living God. I'm holy and acceptable and blameless in his sight. I'm a winner. I'm a conqueror. I'm more than an overcomer. I've been blessed with mercy. And with mercy that I've been blessed with, I will give generously. I will think the best of that person who came up to me and said, "You're an idiot." It's really hard to think of the best. Maybe they were looking past me to somebody behind me. I mean, but Jesus forgave 70 times 7, even to the people who were beating him and placing him on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." Hello? Give yourself permission to thrive, because as you do, you're not going to bump into other people with negativity and personality conflicts and all of those things. And the words that come off your lips will be psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Whatever is a good report, think on these things. Oh, God's my sustainer. He's a lifter of my head. When my hands hang down, he lifts them up, because his anointing oil is upon me. He declares I'm good. And if I've committed the things that are important to me until that day I see him again, I'm not worried. You see, we don't just live for this life, we live for the life after as well. I'm fully persuaded that he is able to keep that which is important to me, valuable to me, until that day I see him again. Oh, doesn't that change things? Doesn't it give you a contentment? You see, we end up speaking fly language. And yet God's saying, "I want you to speak my word." Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody. You see, he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, that valley, you know, there's lots of dark places where the sun doesn't shine and you're worried about this and you're concerned about that and they're all in the shadows. But he says, "I prepare a table, a table of abundance before you in the presence of your enemies. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Wouldn't it be nice just to stop for a little while and allow those things to catch up to you? What if they bump into you as you stopped in your intimate time? Those things just keep coming. They were following you. They had that momentum. But that mercy, boom, it hits you. That goodness hits you in that reflection time. Wow. You can thrive and give yourself permission to thrive this year by not allowing the dictates of the world that inflame your brain and put pressure on you. And you come back and say, no, I'm going to allow the things of God, the great shepherd, to deal with those things in my life and make a difference in my life. That's a good word this morning, and that's a word for you this morning, I believe. This is a place of blessing and abundance. This is a place where people in the community can come and they can be fed and they can be encouraged and they can be lifted up in their time of need. And we don't just exist. We don't give out of what we don't have. We give out of what we have. But sometimes we don't know that we've been given. We don't remind ourselves that we've been given so much. I'll close with this thought. A number of years, my wife's a painter. She's been learning to paint for a number of years. And she used to say, oh, look at the clouds. You know, well, the clouds, you know, like some are fluffy, some aren't. So what? But she, over time, she was patient with me. She said, oh, look, there's a dog. Oh, dinosaur. You know, when you're lying down in the field, you look up. And there's the clouds in the sky. But you know what I began to understand was that there's different colours and different shades. Some are grey, some are dark grey. Some are like a pinky colour because of how the sun comes in. Some are, you know, all the different names of the clouds and so on, and certain days and times. We have the most spectacular sunsets in our area. All the photographers come out just because of the stunning colours. And I began to see the absolute beauty in the clouds. And I used to just drive by the clouds and say, oh, there's a cloud in the sky. But I began to live in the moment and appreciate what God has given. And maybe some of you, that's where you've got to start, because you can't see the other things. And you just start to say, thank you, God, for life. Thank you, God, for my children. Thank you, God, for my health. Thank you, God, I have a roof over my head. Thank you, God, for... And you see, your language starts to change and you start to begin to thrive, because you're actually beginning to see all the things God's already blessed us with that we take for granted. How good is that? Can we just bow our heads this morning? I just want to pray for you as a group and as individuals this morning, and for the church. There's a great anointing on the music. Great music team. There's a spirit of worship. And I want to say this to you. That to have a, is it 40, 50-year-old church here that's still going and has got the facilities that it's got and has got the reputation in the community, reaching out and blessing people. That's like a farmer who's sowed for years and years and years. Are you ready to receive the abundance of harvest that God's got for this church? Because if you're not ready, the harvest will overtake you. There are people out there, and God is going to move by your spirit. And he's going to draw people in because they see people thriving. They see people with generous hearts and hearts of love, hearts of abundance. And they'll say, I want what you've got. There will come a day when people just see you in the street and pull you aside and say, I want what you've got. I see, even though you're fighting battles, there's a thriving in you that I want. And it's the Holy Spirit that will draw them. It's not going to be fancy programs and all of those things. They are necessary, but it'll be the drawing of the Holy Spirit as you allow the anointing oil on you. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. And in your daily life, you're going to come across those people and they say something. You say, do you mind if I pray with you? And it's the Holy Spirit, not you. It's the Holy Spirit upon your life, bubbling up, welling over, that will make a difference. We are going to see a great end times revival in our nation. Without doubt. Prophesied over Australia hundreds of years ago, the great land of the Holy Spirit, Southland of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction. It's the Holy Spirit that brings change. It's the Holy Spirit that opens people's minds. But will you be carriers of the Holy Spirit in your life? Move from subsistence to thriving. Heavenly Father, I pray for this church, the individuals here, for this community. Lord, I pray for an incredible outpouring of your Spirit as people sing to themselves and to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that the words that come off their lips are words of praise and recognition of what you've done and who you are and how you're making us into the people you called us to be. Heavenly Father, I thank you that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me this morning, upon everybody here this morning, to bring healing to the brokenhearted, to bring new sight and new vision to the people in this community, in the people they bump into every day. And that, Lord, we begin to see afresh that our cups are indeed overflowing with your goodness and your mercy and your grace. That this morning is a new day and a fresh day. And I speak prophetically in this church today, and I say there's coming a new time of the abundance of the Holy Spirit, a letting loose of the Holy Spirit, and it will be a thriving that won't come from man or from systems or from programs, but it'll come from individuals who are on fire afresh with what God has done already and is doing and desires to do. Holy Spirit, we release you afresh in our lives that we might thrive, that we might hear the voice of God afresh, and that we might be obedient to the great shepherd who is our great friend and our great Lord. And Lord, I thank you for your presence here right now. I thank you for your presence here right now. And I pray that people carry your anointing and stir it up this week. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Can we thank Jonathan for his word this morning? You know, all that he's sharing just really resonates with me, that it is a season that he really wants us to thrive individually in our own life and just to press through and just to see God do something and release something in our lives individually and just also for us as a church. You know, we've seen many great things over the years, haven't we? And we just sort of know that there's a positioning, isn't there? There's a readiness. You know, God is just doing something in our community and around about. You know, as we've seen the new churches starting, we just know that God's just helping them to steadily increase and touch their communities and things. But, you know, I guess what I'm feeling is as we sing this final song, when we hear a good word, you know, we can just say, oh yeah, I like that. But what we can do is we can just with a little bit more ownership or making it personal, we just say in our hearts yes to that. I'm just saying yes to that. I'm saying yes to that word personally. And what happens is you don't have to have it all worked out in your head, but when you say yes to it personally, then God promises to then take you on a journey. Like it's almost like you're inviting him. You're saying, I'm saying yes to that. I believe you're speaking to me and I'm saying yes to that. And so then he says, all right, then, well, I'll come and I'll help you see the outworking of that. I've spoken it and I will bring the outworking of it, but you have to say yes to me. You have to invite me to just sort of come and take the journey with you. And so, you know, I want you to do that as we sing this through. And so as we stand and sing, can you just do that in your own heart as we sing? Just say, I'm saying yes to that personally. Lord, I thank you that you've given me permission to thrive. You know, thank you for the many blessings that I experience, but Lord, I'm just open for all that you have for me, whatever that means. Let's do a journey together, you know? And I believe he'll do that. He'll deal with maybe some of the things that have been a barrier or a hindrance to you, in your thinking, in your life, in your circumstances, but also he'll open some new doors for you and you'll see them where you wouldn't have seen them before, you know? And so, I think that's great. But then would you also with that to say, Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our community. Thank you for the people that you're readying. And I just want to, basically what you'd be saying is, I'm signing up. I'm in this. Whatever you're doing, I want to be part of it. I don't want to miss out. A few weeks back, and I don't want to take too long, but a few weeks back, I was just kind of thinking about just what God is doing in our midst. And I just felt this thing that he's just going to do something good. And the thing that most of all I felt wasn't, oh, great, something's going to happen. What I felt was, it's funny response. But I felt I don't want anyone to miss out. You know, I just want everyone to be on board, not because I want everyone on board so they can help me or help us or, you know, whatever. You know how it can be sometimes. But I just thought, you know, I don't want anyone to miss out. I just want us all to be able to rejoice together in what God is doing and what God does, because you don't want to miss out. You don't want to be on, you know, when you, you know, just that week when you sort of don't show up for the game. You know, your team has a good win. I know it seems a bit superficial compared to what I'm talking about. But, you know, kind of something good happens and you think, drat, you know, I've been there all along and then I missed it because I didn't see it. And that's kind of the feeling I had. I thought, you know, people have been on this journey, been so faithful. You know, some people God's just bringing in, there's new people into our midst, and it's just great to be doing the journey together. And the thing I felt was, you know, as God does something, I don't want anyone to miss out. I want us to be in this together. Do you know what I'm saying? So I guess here's a point for us to, as we sing this song through, and we will get there in a sec, as we sing this song through, to just say, yes, Lord, thank you for what you're doing in me. But also, just whatever it means, Lord, hey, I just want to be part of what you're doing with us corporately as well. And that could just mean being open when people you meet, you know, have a need, that you're actually just going to let the love of God flow through you in some way, pray for people, love on them, help them in a practical way, share the gospel with them, whatever. But God will create the opportunities if you just say, yeah, I'm signing up, I'm in this. Do you know what I mean? Is that all right? So as we stand and sing this together. And also, of course, as usual, at the end when we finish, musicians play, and there's people here amongst us, and I know Jonathan and Kathy would be happy to just, if you come and you want some prayer, if something's touched you, spoken to you personally, then, and you feel like, you know, I need to really follow through with some prayer this morning, then you feel free to come, alrighty? Otherwise, please stay and enjoy a coffee, enjoy some fellowship, and just hang out together, you know, for a little bit, and it'll be a great time. If you're visiting with us, you know, please come and say g'day, and you know, get to know us a little, and let us know how we can help you just settle in and get to know us. All right, bless you. Thanks, guys. We can see.